Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, John 316, our call letters, two-man car, we're 10-8. Yep, this is roll call time. We're going to provide you some Catholic briefings, some Catholic intel, and give you just the facts. And both of us are reporting for duty, Lord.
Yes, good morning to you and everybody. I am reporting for duty, sir, and it's great to be here today. Jess, we need to start off with some sad news, and it's with great sorrow that we announced the passing of Ruben Nava's mother, Irma Nava, and she had been suffering for a while, so we all pray that she would be in the loving arms of her Savior, as Ruben so eloquently.
She was a good Catholic woman.
Yeah, she was.
She was one of those old-school good Catholic women, just basically loved the Lord and lived in strived to live in a state of grace the most of her life. One of those, that generation, Eddie, that we're going to really miss. They were really the bedrock of the Catholic faith.
Yeah, Jess, and everybody's cross is different. You know, you and I both know the loss of a mother, and it's very difficult, especially right now. So, Jess, why don't we lead off with a prayer here? Yeah,
you got it. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Eternal rest grant unto Irma Nava, O Lord. And let your perpetual light shine upon her. May the soul of Irma Nava, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. And we pray for all the Nava family that God would just give them consolation in this time of bereavement. And so we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Forgive
us our trespasses.
As we
forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
And just, she was devoted to the rosary, so let's say a Hail Mary for her too.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women.
And blessed
is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour
of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Lord, keep the family in your loving arms. And right now, the Monsignor Harris is offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass for the repose of Mrs. Nava's soul right now, Ruben's mother, right now. So
right here.
Right here, in fact, a few feet away from Eddie.
Yeah. Jess, we have some good topics to get to today. I'm anxious to get to them. And we're going to get into some actual former Satanists that have become Catholic on the second segment. But the first segment, we're going to talk about how the Satanic Black Mass proves the truth of Catholicism. And people
hit it, Eddie.
Yeah. Let's start there. There have been a number of stories in the news lately of small satanic groups publicly performing so-called Black Masses. And we all understand what Black Mass is. It's the reverse of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and it's done by people that don't believe in Christ. Now, this is not done by people who are, so-so about the faith. They're not sure. This is done by people that understand the Catholic faith is the true faith, and that's why they're mocking the holy sacrifice of the Mass. These rituals are based on the Catholic Mass, but are inverted towards Satan and often involve the desecration of a Eucharistic host. That's a huge problem, Jess. We've had several shows on how this is becoming more and more prevalent throughout the Catholic world.
I hope one day that Holy Mother Church reverses that practice, which has turned out to be a disaster. Just that's my take. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jess, I think so. I think what happens at some of the masses with all the extraordinary, and all it is, Jess, is to fit in a proper number of masses that the pastor believes needs to be said, because it's meant to speed everything up. If that's what you're referring to, right?
Yeah.
It's one of those things, but so many extraordinary ministers that are not necessary. That's an abuse. We'll get to that in another show.
Yeah.
This sort of thing is evil and should not be taken lightly. It's also occurred to me though, how these Black Masses offer a powerful argument for the truth of Catholicism.
Oh yeah, that's our contention, because These guys know the enemy. The followers of Satan know exactly who to go after. They're not going after the Quakers and the Mormons, and you know they're not. You know they're not going after the.
They're not having a prayer service. They're not having a prayer service anywhere. They're actually mocking the mass.
Yeah, and so in fact, one of the things that you'll hear the mockery, they'll say that phrase, Eddie, hocus pocus.
Oh yeah,
that's a phrase, or actually the Latin words. I forgot what they are.
Hoc est corpus meum.
Yeah, it's the mockery of that, the consecration, and the Satanists will use that term hocus pocus. By the way, and even now you'll see, you know, some of the anti-Catholic fundamentalists in their pamphlets, they'll put that.
Well, people that don't know what that phrase is, Jess. I mean, you know, we were raised to believe that the hocus pocus was some magic trick, something that was elusive and everything. But, you know, the reality is that is a mockery of a phrase that the priests used during the consecration.
You got it.
To confect the Eucharist. There it is right there.
Yep.
Here's what it says. The Eucharist is either Jesus or evil. The Eucharist is either Jesus or mere bread and wine. If the Eucharist is Jesus, everyone should be at Mass worshiping our Lord. If the Eucharist is Jesus, there should be no such thing as Protestantism, Mormonism, Islam, atheism, or anything else. But if the Eucharist is not Jesus, then for 2,000 years, the would-be followers of Jesus Christ were actually idolaters. If that's the case, nobody should be Catholic. So, it says, so there are the stakes. Those are the stakes that we're dealing with here.
In other words, Eddie, the stakes are high. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
If we're right, the whole world should be Catholic.
Right.
If we're wrong, every Catholic's going to go to hell because we've been violating the first commandment since 33 AD. So let's not, you know, we're not going to minimize this. Either we're right, tremendously right, or we're diabolically wrong.
Yeah, Jess, you know, this is the essence of Catholicism, Jess.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about here. I mean, it goes no further. You could stop right here. Catholics should be able to describe how this reality is true, because there is, in fact, no other better reason for our faith in Christ and Jesus, his teachings on the Eucharist. I mean, we have to, and we're going to get to this point here very soon, Jess, is that the Eucharist, Is Jesus a savior or a psychotic? Is he Lord or is he a lunatic? These are questions that we have to answer as Catholics and be able to explain.
Yep.
Let's go on.
Yeah, I'll jump in here.
Go ahead.
It says the Eucharist. If the Eucharist is Jesus, oh, you know, you read that. Okay.
Yeah.
It says, and of course, if the Eucharist is pagan idolatry, it's demonic, as 1 Corinthians 10:20 says. Quote, what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God, close quote. So the whole world hangs on this point. Is the Eucharist Jesus or an idol? Is the sacrifice of the Mass being offered to God or to demons? And let me just throw my thoughts here. Satan, the fathers of the church have always said that Satan tries to ape God. He tries to ape God. And you can see, for example, maybe two or three examples. The Bible says Jesus is a lion. It says that Jesus is a lion, Revelation 5:5. And the Bible says Satan is like a lion. Notice, like. Jesus is a lion. That means he's a king. Satan is like a lion. That means he's trying to imitate the king. Then again, we have, again, the Black Mass is the reversal of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And even recently, Eddie, I saw an article a couple of years ago that Satanists have come up with their own rosary, the Satanic Rosary. Once again, the inversion of the Holy Rosary. So the article picks up, it says, Satan hates the Eucharist. The Satanic Black Mass is a ritual inversion and mockery of the holy sacrifice of the Mass performed by Satanists. There are two types of Satanists, LaVey Satanists and Theological Satanists. LaVey Satanists, atheists who don't believe in Satan and use Satanism as a tool to harass and provoke Christians, unlike theological Satanists who believe in Satan and worship him. But whether the practitioners are playing at the occult or serious, there's no question that they're tapping into some seriously dark spiritual forces. Satan is at work there. Let me say something, how surprised what you call these LaVey Satanist atheists. How surprised you're going to be on Judgment Day. Whether you're saying, they use all the rhetoric of Satan and they go through all the rituals, and then they'll say, well, we're really atheists, you know, we really don't believe. Well, guess what? Your acting, your rituals, your prayers, your everything you read points to the fact that you're worshiping Satan. And so I can just tell you this, the fact of the matter is you're going to be very surprised on Judgment Day if you've just been playing, if you've just been faking it, because the fact of the matter is you haven't worshiped the one true God. Eddie?
Yeah, just, you know, there's going to be,
there's going to be a price to pay.
There's going
to
be a price to pay.
Oh, I was faking it, Lord. I was a levee Satanist.
Right.
I really didn't believe in a real actual devil.
Right.
Boy, oh boy, are you going to be surprised.
You're going to be surprised. Jesse, let's go to, I went to Wikipedia last night to get this whole thing defined. So let's look at the Levian Satanism. It's a religion founded in 1966 by the American occultist and author Anton Zandor LaVey. He's actually the focus of a song by the Eagles called Hotel California. Mm. And that's where that song is devoted to. However, scholars of religion have classified it as a new religious movement and a form of Western esotericism. It is one of several different movements that describe themselves as forms of him being just an archetype, a symbol, or an idea. When we come back, we're going to get into the...
That's not going to cut it on Judgment Day.
No, it's not.
I just thought it was a symbol.
Yeah, exactly. I was just mocking the Eucharist as a symbol. Okay, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with Jesus 911. Stay with us. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
So for told Jesus 911.
10-8.
John 3:16. Two man car, we're 10-8. Hey, Eddie, I got a good Bible verse that I found for law enforcement. You're going to like this. Check this out. It's Proverbs 28, verse 1. Proverbs 28, verse 1. Here's what it says. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion.
Hoorah.
That sounds to me like, you know, just first responders in general.
Yeah, it is.
The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. That describes first responders. That describes our troops.
Just
we're talking about the Black Mass. What's going on?
Yeah, I was thinking about Anton LaVey. Just to go a little bit further about this, Jess.
Yeah.
Anton LaVey was the founder of the Church of Satan. Okay, so and one other thing we need to know: the song "Hotel California," Jess, was an actual place in San Francisco that he erected, and that's where a lot of Satanists used as a crash pad, especially the Eagles, who were often doing events in San Francisco. So that's Satanism. Now, when we get to theistic Satanism, we talk about a spiritual Satanism is an umbrella term for religious beliefs that consider Satan an objectively existing supernatural being or force worthy of supplication with whom individuals may contact, convene, and even praise. So we have LaVeyan Satanism, which is just kind of like an idea that, you know, it's something to do. It's Satan. They're not the real serious ones. But then the theistic Satanism, we have people that actually contact him and praise him and worship Satan himself because they believe he is a supernatural being.
Eddie, both of them are still going to be in trouble.
No. Yeah, I'm just making a distinction. Yeah. There's now one's not better than the other. You're in trouble either way here. Okay.
Yeah, because as a practical matter, even the LaVey Satanists, by going through all the steps of Satanism and the prayers and rituals and stuff, and it would be like this, Eddie. If you and me are going through the whole Catholic faith, you know, Mass, praying the Rosary, and then somebody asks, so, do you believe all this stuff? Oh, no, I just do it just to do it. I don't believe in any of this.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm
exactly.
saying?
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. It's true. I think, you know, one is kind of a stepping stone to the other, but either way, you're on the wrong side of the base here, man, for sure. So let's go on, Jess.
Pick up the article there.
Yeah, so it is worth pointing out that when Satanists of both kinds want to mock a religious ritual, you can bet that it's going to be the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and that they often target the Mass. How often do you hear about Muslim or Hindu or Jewish, even Protestant services being subjected to the same intense satanic mockery? I don't think you ever find that anywhere.
I've never read that anywhere, my 57 years on planet Earth.
Yeah, especially Muslims. Yes, people want to stay away from that because they don't want to get bombed. That's the reality of it. Nobody wants to get treated like that. But
Satanists
Catholics
will get their heads cut off.
Exactly. And Catholics are okay to offend. That's still playing fair. Nor is this satanic targeting of the Mass anything new. As far back as the 4th century, St. Epiphanius of Salamis described a sect of Gnosticism performing a perverted mockery of Mass.
Wow.
I won't go into the details, but it was graphic enough that the members of this sect became known as Borborians. That's translated as the filthy ones, Jess.
Mm.
So we continue on here, and it says Satan doesn't drive out Satan. That makes sense. There's a certain thing about that.
If Catholicism was satanic, like these idiots, like these, you know, Jack Chick, his pamphlets and all these other fundamentals pamphlets say, again, it goes against scripture. In fact, you're about to share it the way that would be inconsistent.
Right. He says, so the Eucharist is either Jesus or evil, since if it's not Jesus, it's idolatry. And since the devil hates the Eucharist, we can cross evil off the list. For some additional biblical support, consider Matthew 12, verses 22 through 28. And this is what it says, Jess. It goes into this in Matthew.
Yeah, let's share it.
This is what it says. It says, then a blind and dumb demoniac was brought to him, and he healed him. He's talking about Jesus here. Jesus heals him. So that the dumb man spoke and saw, and all the people were amazed and said, can this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, it is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons. Now, remember, Jesus is a threat to the whole Pharisee and sect, and that's what they're trying to do, is they're trying to cast doubt on what Jesus did. Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Amen. Word of the God. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, that's so important because it just makes total sense that the opposite of demons drives out demons. You can't be in the same camp and drive out the demons.
Yeah, demons don't. It's never. That's just not part of spiritual warfare or demonology. Demons don't drive out demons.
Exactly.
And I like the way the author says here, this passage is important, the one that Eddie just read in Matthew 12:22. It shows, for example, that Catholic exorcists are operating by the Spirit of God when they drive out demons. But it also means that if Satan hates the Mass, we can be sure that the Mass isn't evil.
Right.
And of course, if the Mass isn't demonic, if it isn't idolatry, that really only leaves one option, that the Eucharist is Jesus Christ, and that the sacrifice of the Mass is presenting Jesus to the Father. This, and as far as I can tell, this alone, accounts for the satanic mockery. Bingo, the author just said, this is exactly why they hate the Catholic Mass, because these Satanists know this is the once and for all sacrifice of Calvary made present here and now. There is no more holier event happening on planet Earth right now than the daily Mass being offered. Eddie, just one verse there that you quoted, it demonstrates that Jesus Christ is divine, by the way, that he's just more than a man, where it says, knowing their thoughts, he said to them, notice, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they argue that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. That's their theology, that Jesus was not, divine, he's Michael the Archangel. Well, angels don't know your thoughts. Demons don't know your thoughts. The only one that knows your thoughts is God. Therefore, I mean, that verse is just one demonstration, the fact that Jesus Christ is divine.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Now, the next section here, just the target of Satan. Even if the only thing you knew about Catholicism was that its central form of worship, the Mass, was the target of satanic ire, you would probably already have good reason to believe that Catholicism was the true religion. But taken with all of the other evidence for the truth that the Eucharist is Jesus, that the Mass is a sacrifice instituted by God, and that the Catholic Church is the church founded by Christ, Satan is just one more unwitting witness for the truth of Jesus Christ and his church. And there it is, Jess. There you have a very simple, to-the-point story on the Black Mass. One of the purposes of it is to mock the sacrifice of the Mass.
And I'll tell you, Eddie, the only people that are standing up to these Satanists, I mean, because these Satanists are trying to get a lot of coverage on social media. They'll go to like the Oklahoma and Florida and in different states. They try to rent government buildings on the weekends and stuff, or go to colleges and try to perform the Black Mass. And thanks be to God, you always have hundreds and thousands of Catholics that show up with the rosary, and priests will show up with a monstrance and the Blessed Sacrament. So we as Catholics, we're fighting them back every single place these guys, you know, show their ugly face and try to perform a satanic mass. You have hundreds and thousands of Catholics that are showing up and basically praying them, not shouting them down,
right,
praying them down and stopping this hideous practice by prayer power. So, and sometimes Protestants will join us. Sure. You'll find a few Protestants there, but by and large, it's a Catholic response to this, Eddie.
You know, Jess, one thing you said reminded me of something I heard on the radio today. They were talking about, is it Georgia, right? The one that has the no abortion clause there. And all these groups are boycotting Georgia. They're not going to film there anymore. Well, one slightly well-known director by the name of Clint Eastwood has decided that he's going to film his next movie there. Wow. So you know what? I'll tell you what. We can always count on a good old conservative guy to back up the Catholicism and what we believe about the faith. That just reminded me about what you said about there. But yeah, on to our next topic, Jess, which is really a interesting kind of conglomerate, kind of put together here. But it's three ex-Satanists come home to the Catholic Church. And these are some people that you're well aware of, Jess. We're going to probably get them on the show soon. But
yeah, yeah,
but
we'll get them back.
Yeah, the idea is that these three ex-Satanists. Now these are not people that went to Protestantism, that went to some other denomination, but they went all the way to the other side. Just they were already convinced of the devil's reality.
Yeah, they were part of a satanic cult. These guys were in, as they say, they were all in. And you know who these guys remind me of, Eddie? And by the way, their names, in case you're wondering, is Deborah Lipsky. We'll share her story a little bit. David Arias and Zachary King. We've had them all three on the show. They're friends of the show. We'll get them back. But they remind me, Eddie, of the famous Satanist who's right now in the process of canonization. His name's Blessed Bartolo Longo. Oh. He was also an ex-Satanist. I forget what year it was. I mean, I forget when he lived. 1841. But he became a Satanist in college. And he was eventually saved, not by an exorcism. He was freed by the rosary. A good priest gave him the rosary and taught him how to pray it. And he began praying the rosary, and he self-exorcised himself. Our Lady exorcised him by his devotion to the rosary. So in the next two segments, we're going to profile three people that took the path of Bartolo Longo.
Yeah.
They embraced Satanism entirely, and they found their way back. Thanks be to God.
And just, we're also going to highlight one common denominator, one fact in all three of their stories that I think is worth mentioning, because we've there talked is. About it before on the show, and we're gonna talk about that as well. Okay, so let's start off with the first one, Jess. Well, we have some time here.
Her name's Deborah Lipsky.
Deborah Lipsky, yes.
Let me mention one thing about Deborah, Eddie. She wrote a book. I have it in my shelf. It's called A Message of Hope, Confessions of an Ex-Satanist. I'll be honest with you. I think I'm looking at my shelf at all the books on demonology and spiritual warfare that I've read. 28 so far. She's one of the 28 books that I've read on this topic of demonology and spiritual warfare. I would have to say, Eddie, that she taught me more on demonology and spiritual warfare than any other book I've ever read.
Wow. That says something, Jess. We'll come back and talk about her, okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus 911 at your service, SWAT training. And we'll be right back with some more information about Deborah Lipsky. Thank you.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We'll be right back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Eddie.
Okay, we're 10-8.
Yeah, we're talking about three Satanists. In recent times, this is not the 19th or 17th or 15th or 12th century. They're still walking around planet Earth right now. They're friends of the show.
Telling their stories.
Yeah, they were serving the devil, and now they're serious Catholics. And first one we want to talk about is Deborah Lipsky. We've had her here on the show. She's Deborah's an author of a book called Message of Hope. It's worth getting, I'll be honest with you, Confessions of an Ex-Satanist. If there's one book you want to have on your shelf, if you're interested in this topic, that's the one you want to get. So Deborah's from Massachusetts. She got involved with Satanism as a teen, and she returned to the Catholic Church of her youth back in 2009. You'd be surprised to discover that seemingly respectable citizens in your community are members of satanic covens. That's what Deborah says all the time.
Yeah.
She says they're doctors, they're lawyers, they're chiefs of police, they're Indian chiefs, they're people you meet on the street, people that are smart. Deborah was born with autism, which led to her isolation as a child. She told me that she was picked on a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
She attended schools in grades 7 to 10, and the rejection and abuse by other children led to her misbehavior in class, which made her unpopular with the nuns who ran the school. And she said that one of the nuns suggested that she deserved the treatment. You know, she was bullied all the time, that she deserved it. So Deborah became very hurt and angry. And so as a joke and to get even, she started coming to school wearing a pentagram. And she said that she told me I just did that to intimidate people, to scare people.
Right.
And she said, I would also draw pentagrams on my homework assignments. They'd ask me to leave the school. And she says these were the pre-internet days. So she would go to the libraries and start studying Satanism in books and began talking with other Satanists. And she joined a satanic cult, which was turned off by the vulgarity of their black masses. She recalled how depraved these things were. And she says Satanism is about indulgence and destroying the church and traditional morality.
He just
told me this. Yeah.
No, I wanted to make a quick point. I took a mental note at this. Because I miss the autism part in her book, because I did read it. I read about all the steps she took as a youngster, but I missed this point. But it seems to me, because we understand that children can be cruel, right? And so I understood that the autism was what brought the first issue that was a wedge between the nuns at this Catholic school and Deborah. And I noticed that we could say that... this made her different from the other kids, and it really was a point of coming between her and what was good in her life, and everybody seemed to be okay with it, even the nuns. The nuns thought that she deserved the treatment, and so children can be cruel, and we have to pay attention to what is an agent of evil. So I would say, I mean, even though, you know, there's kind of a liberal leaning to this, but bullying, Jess, leads to some very serious things. I mean, we've had people committed suicide because
Absolutely.
Of it. And so it's something that we do need to pay attention to, because like we say, children can be cruel.
And unfortunately, Eddie, I think bullying's been around since Cain and Abel.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It is. And
I know we're trying to throw money at the problem,
right.
But you know what it comes down to, Eddie? If you raise your kids well, at home, you know, that's going to take care of this bullying problem. But if you let your kids be, quote unquote, free thinking secular humanists, let them pick their own religion. they're not going to grow up with a well-formed conscience. And no. These guys are big and aggressive and athletic. They're going to be bullies.
They're going to fight against it.
You have to form their conscience. You have to lead them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That will solve the problem, not throwing federal money at this.
No, Jess. And you know what? The reality is part of our faith is to be humble, a humble child. And so, and either side, somebody that has autism or somebody that might be a criticizer of autism, that they could step back and be humble and accept the differences between people. This all comes from the home, Jess. You could put terminology on it and put a label on it, but it doesn't work. You have to live it out. That's the reality.
And Eddie, Deborah's told me, she says, look at Jess, the reason that I embraced Satanism, because I needed a weapon against these bullies.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to scare them. So she started getting into it more and more until she was fully immersed in it. But she said, the reason I embraced Satanism because I wanted power. I was looking for power to protect myself and hurt people who were hurting me. So that's kind of the backdrop to this story that's not in the article. She says, the article asked her, had you met her as a Satanist? She says, if you were nice to me, I would have been nice to you. If you were mean to me, I would have gotten even. I might have sent a demon after you. That's when she was already into it.
Yeah.
She says she would just send curses and hexes on people, her enemies. And she said it worked. She told me.
Sure.
She goes, I hurt a lot of people just, and it worked. She continued in her interview. She says, Deborah says, you would have been uncomfortable around me as I could have given you some hateful looks and found me very manipulative. You would have been surprised that at a young age, I had accumulated tremendous wealth, even though I was only working part time. Eddie, you can pick it up from there.
Yeah, she said, people invite the demonic into their lives through portals. She said, you can make use of Ouija boards, go to a psychic, attend a seance, or try to communicate with ghosts. All these things are grasps at human power, which is only temporary in its nature. We can also invite them in when we let ourselves be consumed with anger and refuse to forgive. Demons have the ability to tamper with our thoughts and lead us into addictions. An increasing fear of the demonic led her to return to the church and share her experiences. She said, I love the church and I have dedicated my life to her. Our Lady has had an incredible role in my life too. I've seen great miracles happen through Mary. And here's a woman that probably saw Mary as an archenemy, Jess, at some point in her life. And
absolutely.
Now
is Satanist. Totally, yeah.
And totally now submitted her life to the church and Our Lady. She encourages the faithful to live active Catholic lives. This is the only way to do it, Jess. I'm talking with somebody this week that I had contact with years ago. And I don't want to get too detailed, but the reality is this. She has put into place in her life things now that took 2 years for her to implement. And now we're getting to the point where she is ready to correct her life and is coming back to the church for more prayer. This is what is important, Jess, is to get the devil out of our life as long as it takes to do it, which sometimes is quite a while.
Yeah, Eddie, and the way to do it is to return to the practice of your Catholic faith. Seriously,
sacrament.
That's the only way to drive out the devil from your life.
Yeah.
There is no other way to do it. And it's not an easy path either, because it means things like going to Mass every Sunday. It means going to confession once a month. It means praying the rosary every day. It means saying grace before meals. It means wearing sacramentals. It means reading the Bible 5-10 minutes a day. I mean, these are things that you actively have to do. And a lot of Catholics, they just get like, oh, I can't. This is too hard.
Yeah.
Are you a big sissy? And you're complaining because you're demonized? Are you kidding me? You prefer to be demonized and be tormented at night by evil spirits than by saying, oh, it's too hard to be Catholic.
That's a reality, Jess. You know what happens is people get involved in their own lives. They start, if they realize how much progress they've lost during the time they've been hexed and during the time they've lived a sinful life. And the reality is trying to catch up by going to school, trying to catch up doing all these things drags them down. So that's what we have to realize is that by coming back to the sacraments and thinking about this girl that I'm talking to, she's coming back to confession. She's getting the sin out of her life. That's what's important. That's what has to be done.
That's right.
Okay.
Continue, Eddie, from the art. Continue.
Where was I? Was consumer.
She encourages. She encourages the
faithful. Yeah. She encourages the faithful to live active Catholic lives, going to Mass and confession regularly, as we just said, and make use of the sacramentals, especially, Deborah says, holy water. She calls it the industrial strength spiritual Lysol, and said, I keep it in my home and regularly bless myself. She's not taking any chances, Jess.
Just for the purpose of the audience, just everybody that's listening to this radio show, go to the Catholic Church, take a water bottle, fill it up with holy water there at church, and bring it home and just write on it. Get a marker, a Sharpie, put holy water, and bless yourself every day with it. Bless your kids. Bless your room. You know, and I'll, because the church is, this is a fact. I've seen it, and this is standard Catholic teaching. Holy water drives out demons. They cannot be in the presence of holy water. And you don't have to empty it and then fill it up again. If as long as there's holy water in the bottle,
right?
They usually say about half. Okay, a priest will say if it's about halfway full, you can go to the sink and put tap water and fill it up all the way. If the tap water makes contact with the holy water, it becomes sanctified. So you don't have to run all the time to the church to fill up the bottle again.
And just a quick commercial here. And for any First Communion confirmation students, they sell little fonts, water fonts that go in a light switch so that every time you enter a room, put the light on, you dip your hand into the holy water, make the sign of the cross. That's called a holy water font. That's a commercial there for anybody who wants to give a good gift. Okay.
Continue.
She also recommends that the faithful be careful about their hobbies and entertainment. She said the drinking, partying, carousing lifestyle can create an opening for the devil to come in. I also recommend people avoid the killing slasher movies. Jess, we often talk about these things on Jesus 911 and other shows here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio, but we understand how, you know, you and I, Jess, you know, whenever we socialize, we'll have a beer, maybe even two beers, but we don't carouse, We don't drink to get drunk. We don't drink to get buzzed. But there are so many Catholics that are partying, that are getting high on a Saturday night and then showing up to Mass for communion on Sunday morning. We got to stop that, Jess. We got to stop that practice.
And I'll tell you why the devil likes you to get intoxicated, because it clouds your judgment. It clouds your intellect. And it hampers your free will, and now he's got you. You're going to fall into sin. Once your intellect and your will is clouded, is tampered, you're going to fall into sin. Trust me.
That's called being buzzed. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus 911.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We'll be right back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Psalm 144, verse 1. We are talking about three Satanists that found their way back home to the Catholic Church. Here's another one, David Arias. He's from Mexico City. He lives in Southern California. Came to California at the age of 16. He was raised in what he described as a culturally Catholic family that but often clashed with his family, as he was a self-described troublemaker. He went to San Fernando High School, same with me, my alma mater. That's him and me have talked a lot about some of the influences out there. The friends in San Fernando High School introduced him to the Ouija board, inviting him to play in a cemetery. In fact, I know where he's at, the San Fernando Mission Cemetery. The association led him to underground parties, which included promiscuity, that means orgies, and drug and alcohol abuse. Eventually, he was invited to join what he called the Satan Church. David and his group included all ages. At 16, he was among the youngest, and many ethnicities as well. Many were Gothic. They were people who dressed in black. They colored their hair, lips, and around their eyes black. Others appeared perfectly respectable and worked as doctors, lawyers, and engineers. The group was careful to avoid the police, a satanic group, and they threatened to kill any member who went public with their experiences. After 4 years in the cult, David Arias felt empty inside and turned to God and returned to his Catholic faith. I'll tell you how he returned. He was walking by St. Ferdinand's Catholic Church. The doors were open. It's a big, beautiful Catholic church on McClay Avenue. The back doors were open, and as he walked past, he stared at the beautiful crucifix that they have in the sanctuary, and he looked, and he became angry. He says, "If you're God, then show me." And he stood there at the door of St. Ferdinand's, yelling like a wild man at Jesus, the image of Jesus in the crucifix of St. Ferdinand's. And he says here, after 4 years in the cult, David felt empty, returned to God, and returned to his Catholic faith. He had an experience of Jesus at St. Ferdinand's, right there at the doorstep. And I forget what it is, so I don't want to put words in his mouth. It says he's since married, he's had children, and been active in his parish, sharing the story of his past involved in Satanism, particularly amongst the Hispanic community in Los Angeles. David advises parents to keep a watchful eye on their children, as children today have easy access to many things that are harmful. And David also recommends regular attendance at Mass and regular confession, as well as a rosary. He said the rosary is powerful. When someone is praying the rosary, evil, that means demons, get upset. Eddie?
Yeah, Jess, I've been on Monday. I didn't come in because I was at a funeral right there at St. Ferdinand's. Stood right in the place where David Arias passed by, and so yeah, it is a beautiful church. I was married there, and it's the power, Jess. It's the power of a Catholic church. That's why we always reverence the church when we pass by it. We always make the sign of the cross. We always say, a prayer before we pass in front of it. And so that's important to note too.
Yep.
The next one we're going to talk about, Jess, is Zachary King. He's a former Satanist who today is a Catholic evangelist operating the All Saints Ministry Apostolate. He joined a satanic coven as a teen, lured by activities he found enjoyable. He explained, "They wanted people to keep coming back. They had pinball machines and video games we could play. There was also a lake on the property in which we could swim and fish, and a pit for barbecuing. There was lots of food, sleepovers, and we could watch movies. There was also drugs and porn. Porn, in fact, Zachary says, plays a huge role in Satanism. Now, he says at age 33, he stepped away from the coven. His conversation to Catholicism, his conversion to Catholicism began in 2008 when a woman gave him a miraculous medal. Today, he warns parents to keep their children from exposure to the demonic. This includes avoiding the Ouija board and the games like the Charlie Challenge. Now, although he regrets involvement in Satanism, he's confessed and his sins. He confessed his sins and doesn't struggle with guilt. He said, "I had a long time to be Catholic ever since I was a child, and I wish I had become a priest as soon as possible. But God allowed me to have this experience that I did have." He wants me to tell everyone, "Don't do what I did. Don't do this."
Yeah, these guys are, all three of these guys are people are hard-charging Catholics at this point, and they've had powerful conversions back to the Catholic faith. But again, they know the dark side. All three of them have told me in interviews and in personal conversations, they said, "I have talked to demons. I've conjured them up. They appear. They'll take a physical form in front of you. And I asked them questions. I asked them for spiritual direction. It was evil. I mean, but these three people have actually had conversations with demons. And yes, they paid the price for us. They paid the price for us. I mean, they'll tell me that occasionally, you know, they're still tormented, you know, in their mind. They have these mental torments. They'll have vexation. They'll have nightmares. So, you know, they're healed. But it doesn't mean that the devil leaves them completely alone. He still tries to, as he does with all of us, harass us at the minimum level, which is called low-level temptation. Eddie?
Yes, and you know, this is why the people understand the importance of the sacramentals. You know, that's why Deborah Lipsky has holy water everywhere. That's why we suggested here at Jesus 91 to get holy water fonts as gifts, because these sacramentals refresh our recollection of our faith. They're not just there because. They're not magical. They work in conjunction with faith. They work. What happens when the sacramentals are dispersed, whether it be holy salt, holy oils, holy water, is where the sacramental goes, there's where the prayer lands. So whenever we have holy water sprinkled at the threshold of a door, that's where the prayers of the church go. And so that's why it's important to have there. Now, another thing just I wanted to mention, because this is so important. All three of these, Deborah Lipsky, David Arias, and Zachary King, all warn us about the Ouija board. This is such a powerful tool of, it's an apparatus just used by the evil one that draws people in. This is something that doesn't stop working for the devil. And we all know about it. We know the problem with it, but yet generations of Catholics have been
continue to use it,
Jess. And it's just that innate thing we have as human beings that draws us into the spiritual realm. But I'll tell you what, Jess, and I remember as a kid too, the neighbors has a Ouija board, and you know, we were always scared by it, but I never actually played it. I was in the room. But there was something about it that drew you into it. And this is what the three Satanists that we studied today have warned us about, playing the Ouija board and other things, you know, the seances, the other things that involve the occult. And that's what we have to be so, so aware of, and especially for our children.
Yeah, and these all three of these ex-Satanists who are now Catholics, all three of them have told me that What I was looking for was power, because that's what Satanism promises you. They promise you power over people, power over relationships. And so everybody who fell into this, all these three people, they had this desire for power and to manipulate people and to overcome their enemies. And so the motivation for all three of them is evil. It really is. It really goes against Christian virtue. Because as Christians, Catholic Christians, we're called to have love for our neighbors, not put curses on them, You know, we're called to forgive our enemies, not put hexes and spells on them. And we're also called to love one another as God loves us. And in Satanism, it's quite the opposite. It's a religion based on revenge. It's a religion based on hurting people. And again, the good news is that all three of them are now serving the Lord Jesus Christ in the Catholic Church. I know specifically David told me that the way he was set free, and David told me that he was perfectly possessed, which means that because he had made a pact with the devil, you know, he wouldn't have like manifestations or anything like just like a possessed person would. He goes, because I gave my life to Satan, so I could be around, you know, a rosary. I could be around a statue, an image, a holy image, and I wouldn't have a manifestation. I wouldn't start twitching I wouldn't go into a trance, because the devil protects people that perfectly possess themselves by consecration or by subjugation or by a pact. And so they won't have a manifestation unless a priest is actively doing imperative prayers on them. So he told me what he did. He said, somebody told me, he says, you need to come to Jesus so he could heal you. So right after the encounter at St. Ferdinand's, I forget what church he went to out in the valley, but he went to in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to an adoration chapel. I forgot what church it was. And there was a Catholic priest there praying, doing his holy hour. And David got on his knees. Now, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, David is praying prayers of repentance. Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. He went into a full diabolical, you know, catatonic manifestation. The priest saw, and the priest knew, this guy's been playing with the devil. This guy's demonized. So the priest went and took the Blessed Sacrament from the monstrance and laid it on his head and began praying over David. He told me the priest started praying over him at about 7 p.m. and stopped at 11 p.m. Prayed 4 hours nonstop with the Blessed Sacrament monstrance on top of his head for 4 hours. David told me I was on my knees. I had my arms extended in a Jewish position. And he goes, I was screaming in pain for 4 hours as the priest was praying over me. He says, it felt like fire was burning my entire body for 4 hours. And objects were leaving my body. He goes, it was the most painful thing I've ever been to. I don't wish it on anybody else.
Jess, that's what we have to look forward to if we believe the lies of the occult, the temporary power that you derive from getting into evil and its dominion. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today at the Jesus 911. We'll be back tomorrow again. Again, Jess, we have to stand by for Gary Machuda on Hands on Apologetics. But thanks again. We will talk to you soon. God bless you.
Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.